das Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. This is relatively easy Gemara. We'll try and make some headway. Says the Gemara, we're on the sixth bottom line, the first word. Omar Rab Yoina, Omar Rab Zeira. Very interesting line of Gemara here. Kol halon shivas yomim beloy chaloin. Lon, we know, means to reside overnight, to sleep. So anybody who goes through 7 days of sleeping, beloy chaloin, without having a dream, nikro ra. That's called evil. If you don't have a dream for 7 days straight, that is not good news. Shenemana, there's a little bit of a drosha on the words. The Pasuk in Mishlei says, V'soveya yolin bal yipoked ra, which we read as Al tikri soveya elosheva. Don't read the words soveya, rather sheva, which obviously has the same letters. So if you read it v'sheva, then you can read the Pasuk as the following. V'sheva yolin, 7 days he will sleep, bal yipoked, without being visited or remembered, then ra, that's bad. So the word soveya means sheva. Look at the bottom, Rashi explains. Al tikri soveya elo sheva. Yolin bal yipoked min hashomayim. If it's sheva yolin, if he goes through 7 days of sleeping, bal yipoked min hashomayim, without being, as it were, remembered min hashomayim b'chaloyim, then hari hura, it's a siman, it's a sign that he's an evil person, and therefore lakach, therefore ein mashkichin lepokdoi, and therefore they're not watching over him to remind him, to remember him. In other words, a chaloyim is, as it were, a message from shomayim. If he has not received a message from shomayim in 7 days straight, then apparently he's not a tzaddik and he's not worthy of being remembered. That's what it means. Ein mashkichin, there's no hashkocha. He's not being watched or remembered. And that's why kaviyochel, he's been abandoned for 7 days, and that's not a good sign. Now the Gemara makes another drasha, completely different drasha on this pasuk. O malei Reb Acha Breda Reb Chia Bar Abba. Hochi Omar Reb Chia Omar Reb Yechanan. He says the following in the name of Reb Yechanan. Kol ha-maspia atzmoy. Anybody who satiates themselves. Maspia, like maspia l'chol chayot. Somebody who satiates himself. Kol ha-maspia atzmoy midivrei Torah. Anybody who satiates himself with divrei Torah velon, and then goes to sleep. In other words, he goes to sleep mitoich divrei Torah, the last words, the last activity that he's involved in before going to sleep at divrei Torah, then that's a very worthy thing. Ein mevasrin oisoi besurois ra'ois. Then he will not be the recipient of bad news. So here's a wonderful etzah for us, tremendous tip. If one wants to be worthy of good news, then make sure that just before you go to bed, the last thing you do is something to do with learning, divrei Torah. Shenema v'soveya yolin. If you are satiated before you go to bed, meaning in a spiritual way, then bali pokidra, then no bad things will visit you. It is well known about Gdoli Yisrael that even whilst they were sleeping, they seemed to be involved in divrei Torah. I read that Reb Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, recounted that when he was in America with his famous father-in-law, the author of the book, or the subject of the book, All for the Boss, Rabbi Yosef Herman, in America, on one occasion they had privilege to host the great Godel B'Yisrael, Rabbi Baruch Be'er, the Baruch Be'er, the Kamenitz Rosh Hashiva. And Reb Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg's father-in-law one day came up to Reb Chaim Pinchas and said, come, quickly, quickly, come, you've got to see this. I want to show you how a Godel B'Yisrael sleeps. And they came quietly into the room where a Baruch Be'er was lying in his bed on his side, as we learned in a previous Gemara. His hands, this is the way Reb Chaim Pinchas described, his hands were way above his head. And even though he seemed to be fast asleep, the whole time he was mumbling in Torah. His lips were moving and you could hear him talk Divrei Torah as he was sleeping. said, that's the way a Godel Bistro sleeps. Okay, says the Gemara. Eilu hein bein haprokim.
His hands are above his head, not to touch it, to.
Yeah, it says that Zayli Yisrael of Makbid, the hands above your head, that you shouldn't touch any place which is tummy. Eilu hein bein haprokim. We saw in the Mishnah a discussion about what's considered the emtsa haprokim and what's considered bein haprokim. Now, there was a machlokes about the last one, which was after you've said Hashem Elokeichem and you go on to Emes V'yatziv. When you're in between the two, you finish Hashem Elokeichem Emes, is that now considered bein haprokim or it's not considered bein haprokim? So there was a machlokes in the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda maintained that that's not considered bein haprokim. That's not in between. That's considered very much in the middle of. In other words, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's one long continuation. Hashem, Elokeichem, Emes, Ve'yatziv, Enochein. It's one continuation. You're not considered in between the two. Says the Gemara, Omar, Rabavoa, Rabbeichnan, Halacha, Rabbi Yehuda. The Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, the Omar, who said, Bein Elokeichem, Le'emes V'yatziv, in between those two, Lo Yafsik, you should not be Mafsik, and that's the way we pasken. Why indeed? What does he mean? Omar Rabbi Avon, Reichanan, my timer, the Rabbi Yehuda. What in fact is the reasoning behind Rabbi Yehuda? Yiksiv, this is the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, as we turn over the Omad, Hashem Elokim Emes. Hashem Elokim Emes means Hashem is Emes. Therefore, you see, it's one phrase. Therefore, you do not interrupt between the words Elokim and Emes, says Rashi, top Rashi. Hashem Elokim Emes, lekach, therefore, a mafsikin ben ani Hashem Elokeichem le'emes. Now, let's not make a mistake. Many people think, and they're wrong, that the pasuk of Shema, the ends of Shema, is Hashem Elokeichem Emes. It isn't. As we know from the Torah, the last few words of Shema is Hashem Elokeichem. Emes V'yatziv is the tefillah that we say afterwards. Nonetheless, between the word Elokim, or Elokeichem, and Emes, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that we do not mafsik, we're not mafsik, because you see in this pasuk in Yirmiyahu that it says Hashem Elokim Emes, that is one phrase, and therefore we do not interrupt it in the middle when we come to Shema either. I think it's worthwhile, more than worthwhile, very important, to translate, because this is sometimes mistranslated. When we say Hashem is Emes, we say this on Yom Neroim, Emes v'kayom lo'ad, we translate the word Emes as truth. I think we've discussed this in the past. That actually is not the translation of Emes. The truth is a manifestation of Emes, but it's not the translation of Emes. If that was a translation, it would be very, very bizarre. Hashem Elokeichem Emes. What does it mean? That Hashem tells the truth, he doesn't lie? Is that what we're saying? Hashem is Emes, he's very particular not to tell lies. Emes actually means absolute, real. Those of you who are Hebrew speakers, it's one of the famous words of the day at the moment. If somebody has a corona test and it comes back positive, confirmed, it's called Me'umat. Mem Aleph Vav Mem Tov, Me'umat, from the word Emes. It doesn't mean it's truth, it means it's real. He's got it, it's confirmed. Emes means something which is real, something which is absolute. Any item, entity, person, which is dependent on something or someone else, by definition, can't be absolute. Because when you take away that other thing, then this necessarily disappears. So it's not absolute. A human being cannot be described as absolute or real because it's completely dependent on several factors, but above all on the Rabbeinu Shalom. If you, for example, take a cup of water and you put it on a shelf, what would you say is the natural height of that cup? You would not say that the real height of that cup is 2 meters off the ground. It's not true. That's not the absolute and real height. And the truth is, because if you pull the shelf down, then the water would come down with it. So you see, it's just dependent on the shelf. The only absolute and real existence is that of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not dependent on anything. There is nothing or no entity or no person or no state that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence is dependent on. We know Chazal tell us that the difference between the word emes and sheker is that emes has two legs, every letter, aleph, mem, and tof, that's why it stands, and sheker only has one. Why do we translate emes as truth and sheker as falsehood? Like we said before, it's not the translation, but it's a manifestation of. The truth is something which is real because it's true. And that's why emes, that's why it has two legs and it remains. It's permanent. It cannot ever be removed because it's absolute and it's real. We say on Shabbos, every Shabbos afternoon, Sidkos ha tzedek l'oilom. L'oilom. Do you know why? Because v'seiros ha emes. If your Torah is emes, then by definition it's la'ilam. Anything which is emes doesn't mean the truth, it means it's real and absolute, and it by definition is la'ilam. So when we talk about Hashem being emes, we don't mean that he doesn't tell lies and he tells the truth. We mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence is emes, is real and absolute. And in fact, if you think about it, and this should really open our eyes, that's the obvious translation of what we say every single day of our lives. And now I think we'll understand this Gemara better. How do we continue after Shema? Hashem Elokeichem Emes, and what's the next words? Emes, V'yatziv, V'nochoin, V'kayom Lo'ad. What do those words mean? What does Yatziv mean? Yatziv means it's stable, forever. Nochoin, Kayom, everlasting. Now we understand why the introduction to all those words is the word emes. If emes would mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the truth, what's that got to do with the fact that he's emes v'yatziv v'nochin v'kayom? The answer is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is real, absolute. Therefore, he is yatziv v'nochin v'kayom. He's everlasting. Like we said before, anything which is emes cannot ever, ever disappear. Now we understand very well. That's why we don't interrupt between Hashem Elokeichem and Emes. Says the Gemara top line. Choyzer v'oymer Emes, oy einoy choyzer v'oymer Emes. Even though the Pasuk finishes with the words, as we said before, Elokeichem, Hashem Elokeichem, ani Hashem Elokeichem. But as we've said before, we want to continue that phrase, Hashem Elokeichem, Emes. Even though it's not really part of the Pasuk. So the question is, in as much as you want to now coin the phrase, Hashem Elokeichem, Emes, should you now repeat the word Emes, beginning the next filler, which is, Emes v'yatziv v'nocha v'kayom? Or do you not repeat Emes, and you just say, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Emes v'yatziv v'nocha? Says the Gemara, Choyzer v'oymer emes, oy einoy choyzer v'oymer emes. Omer b'avor Rav Yechanan, Choyzer v'oymer emes, and Rabba oymer, einoy choyzer v'oymer emes. And of course, as you will notice, next to the word einoy is a little aleph, which means that's the halacha, and of course, this is what we do. We do not say Hashem Elokeichem, emes, and then again, emes v'yatziv. We say, Ni Hashem Elokeichem Asher Yetzeis Yeschem Eretz Yisrael Yeschem Lashem Lachim, Ni Hashem Elokeichem Emes, and then we carry on, V'yatziv Enochem. We don't say Emes twice. Why? Because we paskin like Rabba. And in fact, there was a story, Hahu the Noches Kameh the Rabba. There was some person who landed, as it were, by Rabba. Shomei Rabba. And Rabba heard him, Domar Emes Emes, Trei Zimni. And he heard that he was saying Emes twice. Now remember, this absolutely contradicts the opinion of Rabba. Because Rabba is of the opinion that you don't say Emes twice. And therefore Rabba got upset. Omar Rabba, kol Emes, Emes, tofsei lahayim. That there's, almost tongue-in-cheek, too much MS has grabbed hold of this person. You know, it's good to be MS, but not too MS. Why is he saying MS twice? Says Rashi, second line. Kol MS, MS, tofsei lahayim, riato shel MS, a whole running, riato is like a running, a whole running of MS, tofsei lahayim, has grabbed this person. He's completely overdoing it with the MSs, which we understand very well, because Rabba is the very one whose opinion is that you only say MS once. When he heard that somebody was saying it twice, he got upset. Omar Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef says the following. Kamo ma'alia ha-shmeitza. Ma'alia means how worthy, how special. Like the word le'elon. Ma'alia. How special is this shmeitza, this sugya, this teaching? The chiyaser of Shmuel by Yehuda. When Rav Shmuel by Yehuda came, Omar, he said, Omri b'ma'arava, he reported that in Ma'arava, where's Ma'arava? The west, which means Eretz Yisrael. Whenever you have this phrase, by the way, ki also when he came, it means he came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. This is the Talmud Bavli, and on occasion we are told by Amoraim who were in Eretz Yisrael that they reported something that they saw or heard in Ma'arava, in the west of Bavel, which is Eretz Yisrael. So here's a case in point. Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda said that in Ma'arava, Arvis, when it came to Ma'ariv, they did the following. They said, Daber al b'nei Yisrael v'omarto aleihem. Right? Which is the beginning of the third parasha. And then they went from there and they said, Ani Hashem elekeichem emes. So they basically missed out the whole middle part. Now look at Rashi, the end of the second line. Ha Shmaitza, the Rav Shmuel bar Rabbi Yehuda Omar, he said, Omri b'marav, etc. Kriya Shema shel Arvis, Ein Koirin bo Parshas Tzitzis Kulo. One does not recite the entire Parsha of Tzitzis. Why? Lefi She'ein Mitzvas Tzitzis balayla, because there is no mitzvah of tzitzis at night. Therefore, it's not the time to talk about tzitzis. So therefore, what do? Avol rather maschilin oisa. You begin the parasha. Umafsikim bo, and you stop. Umedalgim, and you skip. So you begin it. And you end it, but you miss out the middle bit, which is the part that talks about tzitzis, because at night, that's not the time to talk about tzitzis.
Isn't Rashi being somewhat inconsistent by using the word kula? Because he's saying kula in its entirety, but he's not. But he is saying the beginning, and he's skipping, and he's moving to the end. So it's not kula.
No, so Ein Koirin Bar Parshas Tzitzis Kula doesn't mean that you don't say anything. It means you don't say all of it.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's fine. Okay. You don't say the entire Parsha of Tzitzis, rather just the beginning, Pasuk, and the end. Now, Rabbi Yosef clearly was very excited about this. And that's why he said, Kama Me'alia, how wonderful is this teaching? He was very impressed by this report that came through from Eretz Yisrael, that they read just the beginning and the end of that third parasha in Shema. Now, says the Gemara, Omale Abaya. Abaya didn't understand why is he getting so excited. Omale Abaya, my Malyusa. What is the big Maila? Why are you getting so excited? V'ho Omarav Kahana, Omarav. Surely Rav Kahana said the name of Rav, Loi Yaschel. He felt that you don't even need to begin the parasha at all. V'im Hischel Goymer. And if you do begin, you finish the whole thing. So Abaya says, I don't really understand your excitement over this teaching in Eretz Yisrael. Surely Rav is of the opinion that you don't need to begin the parasha at all, not even the first pasuk. And if you do begin the first pasuk, then you should read the whole thing. So therefore, I don't understand this pasuk in Bavel. Mamon of Shach, either they should say nothing, or they should say everything. But what's this business of beginning and then missing out the middle? Why did you get so excited? That's inconsistent with Rav's teaching. Rav says, don't begin, you don't need to, says Rashi. Lo yaschil, ein tzorech lahaschil. Vayoymer, quote unquote. You do not need to begin, vayoymer, third parasha, in Arabic. You don't need to begin. If you do begin it, you say the whole thing. So it's either all or nothing. So therefore, Abaye says, I don't understand. Why are you getting so excited with this report from Eretz Yisrael? Now, one second. V'chi teiman, if you're going to try and suggest that v'omar to'aleyem lo yehava haschola, maybe you're going to say that merely to say the first pasuk, that's not called beginning. It's true that Rav said if you begin, you have to complete it. That's only if you have a solid beginning, not just the first few words. And maybe merely to say v'amar to aleihem, that doesn't even constitute a haschala. That's not true. V'omer of Shmuel b'Yitzhak omar Rav daber el b'nei Yisrael. That is lo yava haschala. But once v'omer at aleihem, have a haschala. So once you've said v'omar to aleihem, that is considered a haschala. And if it is a haschala, once you begin, you're supposed to keep going. That's what Rav told us. So if I don't understand, says Abaya, this psak coming through from Eretz Yisrael, and why you got so excited about it. So he said, no, that's the point of argument. Omer Apopa Kosovri b'Ma'arova. They hold in Ma'arova, in the West, in Eretz Yisrael, that for Omar to Aleim, quote unquote, Nami Loi Hava haschala ad the Omar until you say quote unquote v'asulahem tzitzis. In other words, what does it mean you've begun the third parasha? How much do you have to say? Everybody agrees that if you really begin it, you've got to complete it. But what's considered the beginning? One word, two words, five words, 10 words? So Abaye thought that once I've said Dabar al Bnei Yisrael Amar to Aleihem, that's considered a beginning. And if that's the case, you'd have to keep going the whole parasha. So they answer that no, in Ma'arov, in Eretz Yisrael, they hold that's not considered a beginning either. It's only a beginning if you say Dabar al Bnei Yisrael Amar to Aleihem for Asu Lohem Tzitzis. If you say those words for Asu Lohem Tzitzis, that is finally called a haschala, and then it's true that halacha would be you've got to keep going. So what did they do in Bavel? They did not say the words v'asulem tzitzit. They just said dabar el bnei yisrov amar to aleihem, and according to their opinion, that does not constitute a haschala. So that's why they didn't have to finish it off. So what was the question? Why are you getting so excited? Surely once you've begun, you've got to complete it. Yes, but according to Eretz Yisrael, this is not considered having begun. It's just the first few words. Omar Abaya. So Abaya says in conclusion, okay, so let's do it then. Hilkoch. So for we too, Hilkoch Anan, we, who's we? Us here in Bavel, aschuli maschlinov. So therefore we will emulate Eretz Yisrael, will begin. Why? Dekom maschili b'ma'arova. Because they beginning in Ma'arova, let's do the same as in Eretz Yisrael. Now, in Eretz Yisrael, what do they say? And then they stop. Now, why do they stop? As we just said before, because they hold that's not considered a beginning. Now, if you want to emulate them, you're going to be in trouble. Because if you emulate them in Bovel, what do we hold? We hold that Dabar El Bnei Yisrael V'Amar To Aleihem is a Haschola. So if you emulate them, if you want to copy Eretz Yisrael in Bovel, what are you going to do? You're going to say Dabar El Bnei Yisrael V'Amar To Aleihem, but then you're going to have to keep going. Why? Because unlike in Eretz Yisrael, in Bovel we hold that's considered a Haschola. That's what the Gemara says. Hilkoch anan aschuli maschalino. So let's begin as well. Why? The komaschli b'marova, because that's what they do in Marova as well. But the kibben the aschalino, but once we begin, migmar nami gomrino, then we will also have to complete it. Why? As we said before, omarav kahan, omarav lo yaschil, you don't have to stop. But b'mhischil goyma. Says the Gemara, Chir Barav Omar, Omar Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Sorich Loimar Emes. Loi Omar Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Einoi Sorich Loimar Emes. As we said before, this sends us to the beginning of the Omud, that Hashem Elokeichem, even though technically that's the end of the Pasuk, but we don't want to split it up, and you keep on going and you say Emes. So if you say those words, you have to now say Emes as well. Which is, by the way, why the Chazan, when he says loud those words, Hashem Elokeichem, he says Hashem Elokeichem, Emes. He has to say Emes as well. This is based on his Gemara. Once you say the words Hashem Elokeichem, you've got to keep going and say Emes. You must not do what some Balei Tefillah, especially inexperienced Balei Tefillah, mustn't start from the word Ani. I've heard young boys do it just after the Bar Mitzvah. They daven Mariv, the Chazan, very enthusiastically, and in a loud voice they say, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Emes. They're not supposed to start from the word Ani. It sounds like they're declaring their God. Hashem Elokeichem Emes. Says the Gemara, V'ho Bo'i La'adkuri Yitzias Mitzrayim. We have a problem. There is a mitzvah to talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim, not only by Yoim, but also by Laila. Of course, we're very familiar with this from the Seder night. Remember the whole thing with Ben Zoima. There's a drosha that you have to discuss Yitzias Mitzrayim. Hayoim ubalayla. Now, if you just say the opening words of Vayomer and the closing words, you did not discuss tzitzis, you did not say the pasuk that says Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hoceisi Eschem Mi'eretz Mitzrayim. You're missing that out. You're also not saying Emes Vayatziv V'Nochan or Emes V'Emuna. And that there goes on also to discuss Yitzias Mitzrayim. So it means, therefore, you're not discussing Yitzias Mitzrayim whatsoever. And you're mechuyev to do so. Says Rashi, V'hobo'i l'adkuri Yitzias Mitzrayim d'tanan. Because we have a Mishnah that says, Mazkirin Yitzias Mitzrayim b'leilois. One has to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim not only at day, but also at night. The Eloi Omar Emes Ve'emuna, quote unquote. The Loi Omar Parashas Tzitzis, Heichi Midkar Yitzias Mitzrayim, question mark. So where have you made any mention of Yitzias Mitzrayim? We've said many times, by the way, whenever you have an Aramaic word with the Dalet in the middle, you can replace it with a Zayin. So instead of Enoi Midkar, it would become Enoi Mazkir. Not reminding, you're not mentioning anything to do with Yitzias Mitzrayim. How can that be? You can't get away with that, even if you're of the opinion that you don't need to mention tzitzis. Why not? Because Laila is not a zman of tzitzis. Fine, that I understand. But what about Yetzias Mitzrayim? You've certainly got to make mention of that. Says the Gemara, don't worry. We have a special edition that takes care of that. Da Omar Hochi, he therefore must say the following. Moedim anachnu loch Hashem Elokeinu shehoitzeisonu me'eretz Mitzrayim. He said quite clearly, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for having taken us out of Mitzrayim. Uftisonu mi'beis avodim, and you redeemed us from the home of slaves. Va'asisa lanu nisim, and you performed for us great miracles. Ugvurois al hayam, and wonders by the sea. V'sharnu l'cha, and we sang to you. What does that mean, says Rashi? V'sharnu l'cha, what did we sing? V'chamoicha po'elim, Hashem, malchuscha ro vonecha, ad goel Yisrael, v'hashkiveinu. So all of that is one long, it's a short mention, but it's referring to everything that's mentioned afterwards, whether it be Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Nisim, or the Shirais v'Sishbachos. If you're not going to make mention of it, then at least you've got to say this phrase, that we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically for Yetzias Mitzrayim. Very important to point out, this whole concept of mentioning Yetzias Mitzrayim, we always mention Yetzias Mitzrayim just before Shmoneh Esrei. This is what's called Geula L'Tfilah. You have to juxtapose Soimach Geula L'Tfilah. What's the concept behind it? So there's a very famous Rabbeinu Yoina, it's in this Masechta in Brachas, and he says, the entire Avodah of Tfilah must, by definition, be based on Bitochin. If you have no belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu or his Koyach, then why are you davening to him? Other than because you've got to go through the motions. But it can only be considered a correct and a meaningful avoider of tefillah if you have bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have true faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's capabilities. That's why I'm turning to him and to nobody else. In order to be mechazik, that bitachon, we make reference to history. We make reference to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has displayed his koyach in the past. There is no greater way of being instilled with bitochen by reminding ourselves of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu has displayed his great gevura in the course of history. So therefore, the hakdama to tefillah, like we said, is an act of bitochen, must be by first reminding ourselves of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's koichos and his avo towards Klal Yisrael, and that's considered being Soimech Geula. Okay, we'll hold it over here. As I mentioned, there might be a possibility of getting together tomorrow. I just have to check this other shiur of mine. Abinad, I'll send an email out sometime today and we'll be in touch there.
Okay. Shkoyach.
Have a wonderful day, everybody. We should just hear good news.
Amen. Amen.